This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together in studio with Wong Xiaoning and Kusu Chuang. As we always do in the early morning, we recap how global markets ended the trading day.
Yeah, so it's an excellent day in the US. The Dow and S&P 500 were up 0.8%. NASDAQ was actually up 0.9%. Nikkei 225 up 0.6%. Do take note, they are closed today for Marine Day. They have a holiday for everything. Shanghai is up 0.7%. Hang Seng was down 0.1%. Singapore was up 0.3%. And weak FBM KLCI were down 0.2%.
Okay, then, to get some insight into where global markets are headed, we have on the line with us Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Good morning, Tony. Let's start with US markets. They seem to be toggling between risk on and risk off. Which direction is it in? Is it a long bull or one that's plateauing?
It really all depends on the Fed. I think we expect to see things continue to rise through Q3. Well, they should continue to rise gradually. Doesn't mean we won't see volatility. We do expect to see further fallout. But by the end of the quarter, we expect things to continue to march higher, even through the volatility and some of the uncertainty. The Fed meeting in August in Jackson Hole should really give us a bit of clarity around what some of their future plans are. But beyond that, we do expect the Fed to be pretty calm and markets to proceed accordingly.
Yeah, Tony, there's some news, of course, unconfirmed at this point in time, that Jerome Powell might seek a second term. What might that mean for markets and investors, given that he's more of a dove than a hawk?
You know, I think it's continuity. I think, you know, the White House has talked about other people to take that role, but I think keeping Powell right now is actually important for continuity because we're in a really tricky situation. So I actually think I'm not a huge Powell fan. I'm not a huge Powell detractor, but I actually think it would probably be a good idea to keep him in order to reassure the markets with continuity.
Meanwhile, it's results season. So far, so good, except maybe for financials and Netflix. But we already see some strategists upgrading their S&P 500 year-end targets. Do you think they're a little bit too premature?
No, I don't think so. I think we'll continue to march higher. We'll have a few scares before the end of the year, but I think we will continue to march higher. The thing that I think is will be a little bit worrying for people toward the end of the year will be, you know, will the risk of keeping things in be enough? You know, will you get enough reward for keeping your money in the market? Because I think things will get riskier the further we go along in the year. All this is assuming there isn't more COVID aid and, you know, Fed stimulus and all this other stuff, like increased rate of Fed stimulus. But assuming everything is the same as it is now, we'll hit toward the end of the kind of benefits of that stimulus toward the end of the year, at least the perceived benefits. And I think people will really start to wonder whether the reward is there for them to keep their money in the markets.
But Tony, if I ask you to look into your crystal ball, right, what sectors do you think might surprise on the upside then?
Oh, I think, you know, I think we'll start to see things like travel and tourism do well. I think there are efforts, or there are mumblings of efforts in the U.S. that certain people want to close down parts of the economy again. We've seen California start to take some steps in that direction, but I just don't think that anybody here wants things closed down again. Texas has said today, the governor here said that he will not reinstate a mask mandate in Texas. So Americans really want to get out. They want to travel. They want to see other parts of the country and the world. So I think we'll see some things in tourism and travel do really well.
Yeah, Tony, what you've just mentioned obviously reflects the economic fundamentals and the reflation in terms of those sectors. But JP Morgan, I think a couple of days ago, talked about the S&P hitting 4,600 points. It's about 200 over plus points from here on in, not because of the economy returning, but because of share buybacks. What do you think about that particular development?
Yes. Look, companies have a lot of spare cash, and how are they going to get EPS growth if they don't buy back shares? So, the economy is awash with cash right now. And so I think you know, if you're the CFO for a publicly traded company and you have a lot of cash on the side, you're, you know, you really have to do that calculation to understand how is it going to hit your share price if you do buybacks. So yeah, I think that's definitely a part of the equation, at least through the end of the year, if not into the second half of 22.
So names wise, what who pop out? Obviously, Berkshire with over $200 billion and Apple are notable cash hoarders. What other names pop out to you?
Yeah, I can't think of any right now, to be honest, but I think it's just a matter of looking at balance sheets and looking at who has that cash. And then also, you know, doing some research on the CFO and the board and look at their previous behavior. Some companies want to sit on cash or they want to, say, invest it. Others want to do share buybacks. So typically technology companies do a lot of share buybacks. Services companies do a lot of share buybacks. So I think those are the sectors that you'd want to be looking at: banking, services, technology, those sorts of things.
All right, Tony, let's squeeze in one more question. Looking across the pond to Europe, in 2020, Europe's economy struggled with the pandemic. What's your outlook on the EU this year, particularly in terms of an export-led recovery?
You know, I think you're getting a lot of pushback among EU citizens around lockdowns, especially with, you know, the current variant that's going through. And there's a lot of discussion about the efficacy of the virus and, you know, all this, a lot of public health debate. But you know, the problem that Europe has is, well, on the plus side, China will likely keep the CNY strong into 2022. So that should help European exports. But when you look on the downside, Chinese PMI and consumer spending really haven't been aggressive in recent months. And we don't really expect that to come roaring back in the next, say, 6 months or 12 months. So China's going to have some real Europe is going to have some real problems with kind of goosing exports into China. I think the U.S. is fine. It's the number two export market for Europe. But I think there are some difficulties between the U.S. and Europe right now. And it may not necessarily, outside of maybe automotive, it may not necessarily be a roaring market for Europe. So I think they have some serious headwinds, and I think they're going to struggle.
All right, then. Thank you so much, Tony. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, giving us his outlook for European exports, not looking particularly rosy at this point.
Yeah, but still very bullish on the US markets, right? He does suggest that S&P 500 might inch its way up, but the risk reward, maybe the easy money has been made, so it's not going to see some stellar jumps. But he likes tourism and travel. He thinks that the Americans don't want to stay at home anymore.
No brainer, lah. I mean, people have been stuck at home for 15 months, right? They want to go traveling.
I don't know. If your infection cases rise, I mean, will you curb your own behavior? You might, right? Especially with, I think in America, Delta is now 80% of all COVID
That's
infections.
Right.
Don't forget, America is the land of the free and the brave.
They'll
plead the first, and then they'll go maskless, and then, you know, Bob's your uncle. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, well, we'll watch this space, but I think it's result season.
That's right. We've got a few results on our docket to look at this morning. Let's start with Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola reported a second quarter revenue that surpassed 2019 levels, prompting the company to hike its full year outlook. So Coke reported a net income of $2.6 billion. That's up 46% on year. Of course, there was a low base last year. Net sales rose 42% to $10.1 billion, topping expectations of $9.32 billion.
Well, the good news is that the company said that the away-from-home channels, so like restaurants and movie theatres, were actually rebounding in some markets like China and Nigeria. However, India and Southeast Asia were the only areas that did not see any sequential volume acceleration on a two-year basis this quarter. Surprise, surprise, because I think India, particularly hard by COVID-19, and Southeast Asia, we're still in some form of lockdown, especially in Malaysia. But all its drink segments reported double-digit volume growth for the quarter. Sparkling soft drinks units, including, of course, its namesake soda, did particularly well.
I saw net sales rise by 42%. That is incredible. You know, this is a $245 billion company, right? For net sales in one quarter to rise by 40%. You know, I think lest we forget, right? A lot of people, they don't care about diabetes. You know, they don't care about high blood pressure.
I think that's why Coke is venturing into other drinks. So you do see hydration drinks.
They do.
Like growing 25%, and even coffee is growing significantly.
Correct. So there's a developed market bias, which is obviously to go more healthy. And there's an emerging market bias, which is aspirational, right? Coca-Cola is aspirational. You cannot. I mean, for people who've grown up on Sitcha and warm water, right? They want to have Cokes.
By the way, for those who are wondering what Chuang said, is Chinese tea.
Yeah.
The cheapest drink you can find in a coffee shop.
I should know, I'm from Penang.
But the street clearly loves it, right? I mean, when I'm looking at Bloomberg, the consensus price target is $60.26. Current share price is $56.55. Still 19 buys, 9 holes
25
only.
Times current year earnings.
Well, when you think about it, this is probably super cash generative. So not surprising, it's perfect, right?
All right, and looking at another company that has its earnings out, Johnson & Johnson reported earnings and revenue that beat Wall Street's expectations. Revenue rose up 27% to $2.3 billion, beating the $22.2 billion expectations.
Well, this is a pharmaceutical industry, a business, right? They developed the single-shot COVID-19 vaccine, generating $12.6 billion in revenue, a 17% year-on-year increase. Global sales just this quarter were $164 million. And I think that's just the beginnings of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I recall a few weeks ago, Pfizer talked about how they've they expect billions and billions, decades of billions of dollars in top line. And Pfizer's, it's a very long tail pharmaceutical. Same with J&J.
There we go, 7:19 in the morning. Up next, we're going to bring to you the major headlines in today's papers and portals. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.